Again, extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here. I'm so thankful that we serve a God that knows all about us. We serve a God that can see all things. And if that scares you this evening, search out why. Search out why. Because the God that sees everything knows all about you, and he knows what's best for me and for you. And so, thankful for that. As I pondered this evening, you can turn your songbooks to 705. This song has been going through my mind as I pondered a message for this evening, but I'm not going to go there on this song really, but I just want to get our minds thinking a little bit about God's searchlight. And as Delbert was talking, I thought, well, that's a good song for us to think about. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. 705, first verse only. Search me, O God. And we searched our lives already. Well, we just live life with that searchlight on us, searching our lives. And so this evening, we want to do that. And we want to give you opportunity this evening to share of what has happened in your life, what is where you're at in your spiritual journey. But for a message this evening, my mind was drawn from that verse to the verses here in Mark chapter 11. So you can turn your Bibles to that passage there. And we are this evening going to take counsel. And when we think about a counsel service, we think about a church. Specifically, this evening is Cornerstone. And we're going to take counsel from those of us gathered here, the members here at Cornerstone, and where we're at in our Christian life. We're not going to go and take counsel from the church at large. We have close communion. And so we take counsel from that close body. And so as we examine ourselves this evening, it's about our local church here, about our group here at Cornerstone. And I found this verse here in Mark chapter 11. And verse 11, there's a little phrase stood out to me. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem. We're going to read this passage later, but just going to highlight this verse. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And notice the next words there. And when he had looked around about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. I've just simply titled the message this evening, A Look Around with Jesus. As we look around in our church life, you know, it comes down to a personal look. Because the church is made up of many members. We all have our unique characteristics about us, our unique strengths. And yes, there's some of us that have a responsibility to carry the leading out part of the congregation. But we all take that personal look. And when Jesus looks at Cornerstone, what does he see? Jesus went to the temple, and which was the worship, the place to worship. And he looked around. And now let's go read this account and ponder. Was Jesus happy with what he saw there? Mark chapter 11, verse 1. And when they were come nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethage and Bethany at the time of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house should be called it of nations a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves? And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because of all the people, and was astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter called to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering, saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, What things whatsoever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. We're going to cease reading there. As I ponder Jesus going to the temple to look around, and what he saw there caused him great grief. These people were making the house of God anything but a worship place. And so we come down to verse 15 through 19, and we see him cleansing the temple. He's working at cleansing. He overthrew it, and I found it interesting that as he was, verse 16, would not suffer that any man should carry a vessel. He kept the commands there, and he cleansed the temple. Today, this evening, God still works at cleansing his church. He keeps still building his church. And God, when God looks down and sees the temple, the church today, what does he see? What's in my heart? What's in your heart? Because we as a body make up the church, the local body of believers. And so I have some points here. What did Jesus see in this account that we can apply to our lives today and grow thereby? And what do we need today? And this is probably not an all-inclusive account of the list we can make, but what has come to me. As I think about the first thing I see that Jesus, when he looked and as he was walking through life, he saw a willing owners of that colt. Willing owners of the colt. He looks for those that, as Jesus comes and looks today, he looks for those that are willing to serve him. Willing to give their lives to him. Willing to let him cleanse them and change their walk through life. And we call that the new birth experience. And so the church is made up of those that have availed themselves to that new birth experience. There is no other salvation. He also has those that are willing to go where he sends them. Think about it in verse 1 of chapter 11 here. His disciples, his two disciples, were willing to go. They were sent on a mission. What else did he find? He found those willing to let God use their colt. Today, brothers and sisters, God is looking for people in the church that are willing to let him use the gifts he gives to them. He abundantly gives them. and not those that are not selfishly holding on to the gifts that God gives to them. He looks also for those that are willing to proclaim praise to him. And we think about that triumphant entry. As he entered into Jerusalem, there's people that were praising him, people that were taking off their garments for him, people that were cutting off branches and proclaiming praise to him. And so God is looking for those in his church today, those that are willing to do that. Must start with a relationship with him. Willing to be used of God. Willing to give our lives to him. What else does God Jesus look for when he looks at church? He looks for faith. He looks for faith. Verse 22 says, have faith in God. What is faith? Faith is letting God handle the reins. Letting God be in control. Hebrews 11 says, we know that account very well. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's future. You're looking into the future. You're hoping for things that are in the future. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. Faith starts in the fact that God created this world. And as he created this world, he also created the church. And he created you and I. And that's faith. And believing that there is a God. And as we turn in faith, look to that creator. And we give the control of our lives back to him. Well, we think about as we go in Hebrews chapter 11. We could go on down to Abraham. I had to think about Abraham as I thought about faith. A man of faith. That was Abraham. And Abraham's one of those in the faith chapter that it gives a list and then it has a break in between and gives a list again. One that stood out to me was in verse 17 of Hebrews 11. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. For men also received him in a figure. And so you think about that. Abraham, as he took Isaac up there to offer him to God, as he climbed up that mountain there, Abraham's faith said, God can raise him from the dead. God commanded me to do this. I'm going to do that. And God is able to raise him up, even from the dead. And so, how did that play out? In Genesis 22 verse 5, you have the account there of when they're going. And Abraham said unto his young men, it says in verse 5, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. Yes, he had faith that God could raise him from the dead. He was going to go and offer him. And he told his men, we're going to go and worship, and come again to you. Well, today we must have faith in God. Faith in God's power. The power that it talks about that can move mountains. You know, he's moved that mountain of sin in our lives. He can do that. He can wash us clean. Psalms 103 verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. He removes it. That far away from us. Are we thankful that he can do that? He is all powerful. How is our faith in his power? Maybe there's some doubts that creeps into your life. Am I really saved? Is God really who he is? The scripture says he is. He has the power to strengthen you. He has the power to bring you through, that you don't have to doubt his promises that are in Scripture. And when you struggle with assurance, claim the promises. They're truth. We live in a world that's everything has a lot of untruth in it, but we can rest in the Scripture. God has the power to remove doubts from your life, power to fulfill promises in Scripture, power to build His church, and you as well as you're part of it. Verse 23 of our text here. We have a faith that believes in God's power. A believing faith. A faith that is strong for God, even when we don't know the future. I don't know what the future is for the church, other than I know that sometime it's going to be redeemed, taken back to be with God. But we might have hard times. We might have struggles. We don't know, as you look at the national scene about us, we don't know how long our freedom is going to last. But it doesn't need to unsettle us, because we have a God that is all-powerful and a strong God that we can trust in for the future. It is also, we need a faith that is open to God's will. Lord willing, as we come think about our communion service, our brother may share about that suffering and death of our Lord Jesus. And as Jesus was there, suffering, what did He say? Not my will, but Thy will be done. A faith that rested in God, a faith that can see us through as well as we in faith reach out and say, Lord, what's Your will? What's Your plan? Show it to us. What else does Jesus look for? He looks for prayer. How is my prayer life? How is your prayer life? Psalm 66, verse 18 says, If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Which part are you at? How is your prayer life? Is there some sin that hinders your relationship with the Lord? That hinders you talking to God? How close do you feel to Him? Calls us in verse 24 for prayer. Prayer. In verse 25, when you stand praying, he's looking for prayer. He's listening for prayers. Can you say that God has answered prayers in your life? Has God answered prayer for you and for me? Make it personal to yourself. If you find missing in your prayer life, why? Search your life. And counsel service is a time of doing that. Is my prayer life like it ought to be? Is my life right with God so that He can bless my prayers, so He can hear my prayers? Or is there some sin that I'm striving to hide? Do I take all my trials to God and lay them at His feet? He looks for prayer. He wants that prayer. He wants that relationship with you and I. He also looks for forgiveness. As He looks at the church, He's looking for a forgiven church. And a church that reaches out and forgives others. When you stand praying, forgive. Forgive. Our brother in the revivals talked about that root of bitterness. You know, forgiveness is the answer for that. Forgiveness goes a long ways in overcoming bitterness. The Lord's Prayer says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In exactly the same amount that we forgive those that we have around us, if God forgives us that way. How does it stand with me? Well, when God forgives, He removes our sins. Psalm 103, verse 12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." He removes them from our debts and forgives us of them. Tonight, as I ponder a counsel, giving counsel, sometimes we like to go back and visit those hurts, because forgiveness is not a once and done thing. Forgiveness is time and time again. And it gets easier, it should get easier as it goes on, as time goes on. But forgiveness is not once and done. Not so with God. As we shared there in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, he removes our transgression. He removes our wrongdoings. The things that he forgave us from, he removes them and he forgets them. They're covered by the blood. Sometimes today, Satan likes to have us go fishing back. Is it really forgiven? Am I really at peace with God? Well, if we brought our petition or brought our sins to Jesus and laid them down and asked for forgiveness for him, he forgives us. And if we've forgiven everyone about us as we need to, and we willingly forgave them, God willingly forgives us. But it matters how we relate to our brothers. You know that account, the parable of that man that took the one that owed him by the throat and said, "Pay me what thou owest." When he is forgiven so much, we can fall into that today. But peace will not come in life if we have not forgiven our brethren and sisters. We cannot claim peace with God unless if we've given forgiveness to those that have wronged us. God is looking for forgiveness as he looks into the church. What else is he looking for? He's looking for fruit. He's looking for fruit. What for fruit is coming from my life and from your life? What is there? Verse 13, as we come there, Jesus was looking at that tree that was afar off, and he wanted some figs. It had leaves, it had everything else on the outside, but there was no fruit there. God desires fruit. Philippians 4:17, Paul is writing to the Philippians, and he said, "Not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." And God is the same way. He's looking for fruit from a church. Fruit from my life, fruit from your life that builds in the church. And when the people see the church, they see the fruit that's pouring forth. Do they see a brotherhood that is pulling together, working together, blending together? You know, the world doesn't have that. The world is a lonely place. Yes, they may have friends, but oftentimes that runs out. The friendships run out and is so surface and frivolous. But no, in the church, it needs to go below that. And it needs to be a fruit of the Spirit that is love, joy, peace. And it needs to come from within. From what God gives us. He's looking for fruit. And that fruit comes with a change of heart. Matthew 7 verse 20. It says, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." The world knows when it looks at the church. What for fruit is showing there. And God is looking at that fruit as well. When he looks into the church. He looks for that fruit that our lives should be producing. We must be able to see growth, spiritual growth, multiplying and growing in our lives. Must be able to see growth. And so, as we touched on these few points, we come to the question, what does God see in my life? Council service is a time as we look inwardly at ourselves, and we look at it through God's eyes. Yes, no, we look at it through man's eyes, but we need to view it as God sees it. When we look at our lives, don't evaluate it according to our standards, but God's standards. What does Jesus see in my life? Is the faith in my life as it ought to be? Is it growing? Is it getting more and more? Am I on an uphill climb closer to God? Is there something that is dragging me down away from God? What about my prayer life? Is it unhindered? Does God hear me? Is it happening? Is there some sin in my life that's hindering it? Have I given my life totally over to Him? Am I willing to be used in the church of God, wherever He would have us to be? Is there any unforgiveness towards my fellow men? What is my life? What for fruit is my life producing? Again, highlight, what does Jesus see in my life? And I trust those questions have been some that you pondered today. As you pondered about this council service, searching our lives. And as you come to the council room, may God bless you as you do that evaluation and share with us where it is, where your relationship with the Lord stands at. Yes, you share your counsel with us as ordained men, but God hears your counsel as well. And ultimately, you evaluate your life. It's between you and the Lord. But God knows everything. I appreciated those devotional meditations. God knows everything. He walks to and fro. He sees. May God bless you as you share, open your hearts and share where it stands honestly with you and the Lord. I think we'll move on into the